Hello, thank you for tuning in. You are listening to the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. For network or show information, visit biteradio.me or call 843-808-0777. And now, the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. Good day, everyone, and thank you for joining us for this edition of the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. Today, my special guest is Mary McNerney, and we will be talking about her new book, Earth Speaks Up, Dynamic New Perspective on Earth and Your Role Here. Humanity's understanding of Earth throughout history is filled with a series of awakenings. We once believed the Earth was flat, stationary, and at the center of the universe. Over time, we learned otherwise. Today, we hold on to the belief that the Earth is merely a compilation of dirt and rock. Our past experience shows us, though, that our perception of Earth needs to be fluid and open to change. For more information about Mary's book, you can visit her website, which is marymcnerney.com, and that's Mcnerney. Oh, so with that, I'd like to welcome Mary to the show. Boy, Mary, boy, had to make sure that website out there.
Okay. Well, thank you, Robert. Okay.
Well. Well, I'm really happy to have you talking to me. You know, when we talk about the Earth and the shape that the Earth is in, and everything that kind of the need for an awareness, your book is very it's really good in being able to, I think, maybe give people a different perspective. So I would love, if you wouldn't mind, though, sharing with the listeners, you know, a little bit about your history and how you got to writing this book. I know, as I was reading it, you know, the introduction, that it was a very unusual start, kind of an unusual journey.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it, Robert. Yeah, it was writing this book was not on my radar screen. That's it exactly. It was not my plan, but. And I love sharing that story with people because I think it's important for people to see how this came about. And before I jump into that, I just want to say thank you for giving me the opportunity to introduce people to this book. It just came out the other month, and I think it's really important information for all of us to know and to share in and to begin to see our planet in an entirely new way.
I did want to say too, not only information, but exercises. I love, love that part. So anyway,
And I think other people would love that
info too.
Since it's come out, it's on Amazon and Barnes & Noble. And since it's come out in its first month, it was a bestseller on Amazon US and Amazon UK. So I'm really pleased that people are seeing this, people are resonating with it because it's the kind of information that can help change and heal our planet. So, yeah, we're going to discuss that, but I'll first follow up on your question you raised about how this came about, because it really is intriguing. It was, as I said, it was not my plan to write this book at the time. I grew up on a farm in Ohio, so I always had an affinity for nature and a closeness to nature, but I followed the traditional path many of us do, going off to college, and then I went on to law school at Georgetown and had a career in corporate and international law for a long time, following the traditional career path and, you know, the long hours at work, and like most of us do, and the spending my days, what's the logic side of our head, the left brain or the right brain? I think it's the right brain and logic and rational side. I lived in that part of the brain, rational, logical thinking, pretty well buried in paperwork and ensconced in business negotiations, drafting contracts, and handling business logistics. So I was always enjoyed my time off from work, like most of us. And when I was home one day, it was a beautiful day, and I was enjoying my time off and looking out the window and thinking, oh, what should I do with my free time today? And thinking, oh, should I grab my husband and our dog, go out for a walk in the woods, or take my horse out for a ride? And I was thinking about these things and just happened to say aloud to no one but myself, because no one else was in the room, just said, oh, gosh, what shall I do today? And then I heard Robert quite distinctly, take dictation from the earth. And I knew right away it was the angelic realm. There was no one else in the room. And it was a really profound and deep statement. And I was shocked, like any one of us would be, but also moved at that depth of that statement. And I thought, wow, that's a really profound thing. But I'm sure it's meant for the more illustrious spiritual people of our time. Not me. I'm just an average person. I don't know how to do that. I don't know what that's about. And so I just put the idea in the back of my mind. It's not something I thought, they've got the wrong number here. And then I pretty well forgot about it until about 6 months later. And I had the exact same experience and was told, take dictation from the earth. And so then I thought, well, why not give it a try? I didn't know what I was doing, but I took a pen and paper out and sat in the woods in the edge of our backyard and just sat there. And Robert, then all of a sudden, the word started coming, and it was dictation. And I was being told all this information. And initially it was hard for my pen, my hand, and mind to keep up with it. But it was very clear from the beginning that I was being dictated a book, and it was this book. Mm-hmm. And I continued doing this over the ensuing months and years, and that this is what came forth, and it was this book of wisdom, guidance, and tools, these exercises you mentioned, wisdom, guidance, and exercises for showing us as individuals how we can begin to work with our planet in a new way, engage with her, recognize our planet is this communicating being and needs us now to step in and attune to her and work with her, together with her, in an entirely new way. And this book is like the guidance for humanity to be able to step into a new relationship, step up into a partnership with Earth. So,
yeah,
that's
well,
a
I
nut
would
think. And forth, yeah.
Yeah, you know, I think, you know, when something like that, first of all, you know, you're to be commended to be open to that, because so many people with, you know, in the frame of, you know, logical thinking wouldn't mm-hmm. necessarily, you know, be open to that. I mean, it's just one of those facets that, you know, you usually don't see those two together. Mm-hmm. But I think that maybe that's the uniqueness is maybe what made it stand out, you know, maybe kind of prompted you to take action.
Yeah, I think that's because it was so unusual. And then the more I've worked in this way with Earth, with the angelic realm, and with all of nature, I realize, wow, this is actually the norm. And we as individuals in a society have divorced ourselves and separated ourselves from working with Earth and nature in this way. We've shut down our innate ability to work on the non-logical level, to work and understand and interact with the multidimensional world we're really in, to use our intuition, to use our other senses, which allow us to attune to Earth and nature in this way. And we all have the innate ability. Hey, as you saw, I was no one special. It's an ability we all have. We've just through our educational process and through our traditional mindset of in our daily life, we've just separated ourselves from this skill. But it can be reawakened in all of us, and that's what we need to do now. And when we do it, we open ourselves up to an amazing relationship with Earth and an ability to heal and connect with Earth in doing healing for the planet and ourselves. So
yeah,
it's like this whole doorway.
Yeah, that's the one thing is that I think sometimes people feel, I am one of 7 billion people, and hundreds of billions of creatures, on this planet. What does my contribution, how can my contribution make a difference?
And that's the thing. We all feel, I'm just one of billions of people. What I do doesn't make a difference. But the amazing thing is, when we begin to attune to and work with Earth in this new way, we're working on an energetic level, and it has a ripple effect. When we make this shift and step into this new relationship, it creates a vibrational effect that moves beyond us and moves out into the world. So this book is about teaching us to, we're traditionally, we just focus on our three-dimensional physical world. What we see here and touch in front of us, that's it. But we're actually in a multidimensional world that has so much going on the energetic and vibrational levels. And when we learn to attune to and work on those levels, our capabilities are magnified. And that's the exciting part. And what this book gives us is the exercises to help us learn to engage and work and create in this other way.
As you were talking about, talking about getting to that energetic level, the thing that the visual that just popped into my head was like rising up to the jet stream. You get up to the jet stream, and then all of a sudden, you can go, incredibly fast and smooth. Smooth. I mean, it just magnifies.
Yeah, that's an interesting analogy, Robert. Yeah, and getting up to the jet stream is kind of like analogous to stepping out of our usual routine, way of being. But once we realize, once we become aware, there's so much beyond what we already know, and we open ourselves up to it, then there's infinite possibilities. Yeah. And that's, I think, where we are now, where our society is now, is like at this turning point. We have a choice right now. Do we want to stay on the path we're on, which has created a heck of a lot of problems for ourselves and our planet, what with climate change and the degradation of ecosystems and everything that our society has done on the planet? Do we want to stay on the path we're on, or are we willing to step into this new change, this new way of being in the world, and move ourselves individually in a new direction? And when we each make that choice, that has the ripple effect to then go out and make changes in the greater world. So we're at this time right now. We're right on the cusp of a choice, a change we can each make, and when we each do it, it brings benefits beyond ourselves.
Yeah.
Does that make any sense, what I'm saying?
Yes, it does.
Sometimes
it does.
I worry. I've stepped away from working in my logical, rational world as a corporate lawyer and really shifted into working in this other way and trying to share this with other people through this book. Sometimes I worry, is this getting too esoteric for people to understand? But it's so essential.
Not with my audience or me. No, because it is right there where I think, the all of the changes and disruptions to me seems like just an additional component of raising awareness. I mean, it's just, you know, just as we want to raise awareness to do that cooperative, creative, positive part, that negative also, you know, gets people's attention. So, and, you know, and then we want to move from attention to action. But I mean, it's again, I think it's part of the, I don't know, to me it seems like it's just another facet of raising the consciousness of everyone about Earth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I see your point, Robert, that in a way, this crisis we're in right now with the global, mm-hmm. global warming and all that, this crisis is, in a way, it brings us maybe a potential gift when we start to, it propels us.
Right.
Into mm-hmm. a new direction, a new way of being, that if we didn't have this to make us stop and take stock of our situation, we might go on blithely the way we have been going, not paying attention, not learning what we really need to learn, not changing what we really need to change about ourselves and our society. Yeah, so I like your point there. That,
it's just one of those things where, when you look at the overall picture, I've tried to see, I mean, because there's just so much chaos and confusion and negativity all going around, and it's, you know, that's like just not me, you know, at all,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I'm not, but it's, you know, I'm trying to learn to appreciate the value of it, and you know, some of the, the repercussions of it, or the ripple effects that follow afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
Now, one of the things that I found was interesting in reading your book is that there was one part you talked about Earth as being a spirit that kind of chose to occupy the planet. What would you call it? Awareness or the planet's existence, you know, basically
mm-hmm.
the spirit of the planet, and that one may or may not stay, may go. The idea of Earth as being a spiritual entity or force,
mm-hmm.
or, to me it was interesting. So can you talk to us a little bit about when you got that information, what did you think about it, and what's your view?
Well, all of this information was new to me when it came to me, and for the listeners, I'll point out what I had found when this was being dictated to me, that it was the Earth, the voice of the Earth speaking, the conscious communicating presence of the Earth speaking, and also she was supported at other times would be speaking angelic beings it was a collective who identified themselves as we, and they came across to me as sort of like a group of very serious, very wise professors, clearly very evolved spiritual beings. And they came in to support this new relationship between Earth and humanity. So it was the information was coming from these two sources, so it was all new to me as I took this dictation. And that point you mentioned where Earth was speaking about herself as a spiritual being as well as a physical being, and this is really no different from ourselves. We see ourselves as these physical beings, these our physical bodies, but we know we're much more than that. We know we are body, mind, and spirit. We know that about ourselves, and this is also true about the planet Earth. The planet Earth is this living physical being, which also is body, mind, and spirit. And as our spirit incarnates into our bodies, so too the spirit of the Earth incarnated into the spirit, many people we term it Gaia, incarnated into this physical body, which is the planet Earth. And this was all amazing to me to come to that understanding, to see the parallels between ourselves and all of life, everything in nature, and the planet Earth is body, mind, and spirit. And the Earth explained this to us, and she's in this body now, and does not envision, it's not on her horizon for her spirit moving on at any time, but this is the way it is with planets, same parallel as it is with us and our bodies, which is like you just see we as beings aren't so separate as we think, aren't so different as we think. We all are body, mind, and spirit.
When I read about her not thinking she was going to be, changing soon, I thought, because when you're using the analogy to us, basically when we're alive, the spirit, inhabits mm-hmm. the body, and then when the body dies, the spirit goes, so mm-hmm. it moves on. So I thought, mm-hmm. I was thinking that she was saying that, well, good, that means the planet's going to live for, a little while longer. Well, to me, and the idea that also that particular spirit, let's just say Gaia, because that was just mm-hmm. a good way, that is an evolving spirit. And knowing we are, so that's mm-hmm. understandable. But to me, the idea of Gaia and evolving Gaia, and again, the components of the Earth. I mean, all of the diversity of the Earth, mm-hmm. and the fact that it, so now just the question, what I was thinking at that point is, well, with all of that, with Gaia evolving, and each individual evolving, is it does Gaia's evolution, is it dependent on or related to, strongly related to the evolution of all of its components?
Yeah, that's what I think. It's like this whole book is continually pointing out to us the togetherness, which we really are. Like we as humans see ourselves as very separate and distinct from everything around us. But this book shows us that we and Earth and all of nature too, but the book talks primarily about our relationship with Earth, we are really one togetherness, evolving, growing, learning together. And what we do as humans for our healing affects Earth. And we're not a separate existence. And here's one quote, which I like to share. I'm just going to read this from the book. This is a quote from Earth, which is an opening in chapter one. And I'm quoting Earth now. It is time for humanity to awaken to the togetherness of what you and I truly are. We are one consciousness traveling together. And that's Earth talking about her relationship with us, to recognize that we have this shared parallel existence and evolution of learning and growing and living, being together. And it's time for humanity to recognize what we do really affects Earth, and what Earth does affects us. And when we choose to engage and work together on the conscious level of energetic co-creation, when we join together with Earth in that way, we have amazing ability to heal our planet and ourselves. And so that's what the book sets forth in showing us how to do that, how to engage in that way.
We're about halfway through the show, so I want to take just a quick break, and I do want to invite listeners, if you would like to call in and ask Mary any questions, you can call in at 619-789-4359, and for those listening live in the chat, if you have any questions, feel free to pose them there. And then when we come back, Mary, I want to talk about the weather, how Earth described weather, and, you know, and we were talking briefly mentioned climate change. So, and I, again, that was another aspect of your book I found a it really changed my perspective. So I want to talk about that, okay?
All right, will do.
Okay, great. Everyone stay tuned. We'll be right back after this brief break.
Hello, this is Robert Sharp. I want to thank you for joining us and hope that you are enjoying today's show. Just a reminder that we have a wealth of information and resources available on our website, biteradio.me. There is a calendar of upcoming shows, along with an archive link that will give you access to more than 1,400 shows we have had over the past 9 years. Also on the site is a link to the products and services we provide, books, photography, a wellness store, and self-publishing assistance. Our show is a free podcast on iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, iHeartRadio, and TuneIn. And you can subscribe for free on any of those platforms by using the links on our website homepage. We are on many social media platforms, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, etc. And we also have buttons to those platforms at the top of our homepage. Our website, biteradio.me, has much for you to explore and enjoy. I also very much appreciate you supporting our guests, and especially today's guest. And now, back to the show.
Okay, everyone, thank you for staying with us. Again, today my very special guest is Mary McNierney, and we are talking about her new book, Earth Speaks Up, Dynamic New Perspective on Earth and Your Role Here. And again, you can find out more by visiting her website, which is www.marymcnerney.com. That's Mary, MCNERNEY.com. Okay, so with that, we're back, Mary.
Okay.
Okay. So, Earth gave a little a perspective of weather that I had never thought of, and I wouldn't think. But so, tell us a little bit about what they had to say, what she had to say about weather.
Well, yeah, Robert, when this was dictated to me, it was a perspective I hadn't thought of either. But it was really eye-opening. Well, everything that's shared in the book is eye-opening for me, and I think for most readers. When she started talking about weather, she was explained that humanity has an effect on weather. What we put out there, our vibration, our emotion, our action affects the weather. And what we do, like when we spew negative energy, negative vibration, whether it's through a war or through angry fight with our neighbor or just spewing, I'm just pissed off, anything we put out, whether it's physical negativity like a war, which has a lot of energetic negative vibration, or our own spewing of negative emotion, and that creates toxins in the Earth's energetic field. Same way as we as humans have our own energetic fields, our auric body around us, which carries our energetic vibration, the Earth has an energetic field, an auric field, which is her atmosphere. And when we spew, when humanity collectively or individually starts spewing toxic vibration, it collects in her energetic field. It collects in the atmosphere. And the only way Earth has of clearing her energetic field of toxic vibrations, which build up and accumulate, we perceive, oh, I had this, I spewed negative emotion, or World War II and the Holocaust occurred long ago, that's gone, that vibe's gone. Or the fight I had with my neighbor yesterday, that's, that negativity's gone now. No, that's collected and held in the Earth's atmosphere, and the only thing she can do to clear her energetic field is to twist and spin and discharge that energy. And when Earth twists and spins and discharges to transform and clear that energy, that's a hurricane, that's a tornado, a cyclone, that, or these big storms. That's all Earth can do to clear her energetic field, is to create a hurricane. A hurricane has that transformative effect in her energetic field of clearing buildup of toxins. And we might see hurricanes as occurring down near Florida, or tornadoes occurring out near Kansas or whatever, these places. It doesn't mean that the toxins is only Floridians or Kansas people that have to build up these toxins. No, it's just that's where the Earth happens to have doorways to move the energy. So the energy builds up and accumulates from anywhere and is everywhere. But the interesting thing is, in the book, what we're shown is once it's come to the point where the Earth has created a hurricane to clear her energetic field, there's not much we as humans can do. But there's a lot we can do beforehand. There's a lot we can do before those natural disasters are created. We can work together with Earth consciously to clear her energetic field of the emotional detritus that humanity has poured into it. And so in this book, the Earth gives us these wonderful, simple exercises to help to teach us to work with her. This is how you clear up your stuff, clear Earth's energetic field, so she doesn't have to create a hurricane to do it herself. She shows us how we can engage as partners with her and work on this energetic level to help heal her, and that also helps heal us. And so these exercises she gives us are amazingly simple. I couldn't believe how simple they were. And I thought when these, and there's in the book, there's about 9 different exercises for helping us work together and heal the Earth. One of them is to clear the energetic field. And when these were given to me, they were so simple. I thought, I've got to be missing something here. I've got to misunderstood some dictation. And when I asked about that, as I was taking this dictation, I thought, okay, I'm missing something here. I felt these exercises are so simple. They're too easy to be valid. Did I get the information right? And I asked that question of Earth in the angelic realm. And I'm going to read you this wonderful quote because it'll give you some perspective on the simplicity of these exercises. The angelic realm, I'm quoting them now. Yes, simple exercises, simple experiences are often the best and more profound. The way your social realms have evolved recently, you seem to believe that complexity is necessary. We would urge you to revise that thinking, for such a belief is erroneous. And so then it was explained to me, Robert, that when we're working on the energetic level, and it's far easier to create change than when we wait until a problem arises on the physical level. So that's why we can work in these simple ways, these simple meditations, these simple conscious connections. They don't take as much effort or as much time as if we wait to deal with correcting a problem on the physical level, because we're creating change before the problem manifests in our. So these are all things in the book we'll share that people can engage with a few minutes a day. Just as we brush our teeth morning and night, we can spend a few minutes doing a little meditation, a little exercise together with Earth, which makes it a really wonderful thing to be able to incorporate in our daily life.
Well, it is. It's very good. You know, so many people have morning routines or you know, wake up routines that are just get up and go, you know, and you mm-hmm. know that a little bit of a little meditative time is good. Mm-hmm. And now, what would you say, you know, for people who that are listening or who want to go ahead and start doing something differently, you know, I mean, without, I would say get the book and you know, do the exercises. Mm-hmm. But if they're listening to us in their morning or their night, how would you suggest, or are there ways that people could get that earth connection? You know, I mean, is there a, how would you suggest that? I mean, how does someone go about connecting with earth?
Well, and that's the thing, and it's hard to explain all this in our short podcast. But the book, the very beginning, and I'm sorry to refer listeners back and forth to the book, but that's the quickest way for me to explain. The book gives you little exercise to help you attune to Earth. The first one she shares is how to bring your attention, your awareness into Earth, and that it's a very just sitting and being with Earth, it's in bringing your attention, bringing your awareness to recognizing the Earth is this conscious being eager to communicate with you. That recognition and bringing your awareness, I bring it down into Earth. I imagine my energy, my consciousness going down and connecting to Earth and being open and aware. Yes, Earth, I am with you. I see who you are. I am engaging with you. Just our bringing our attention and our awareness in that way creates an opening for Earth to respond. It's sort of like we're saying, yes, Earth, I see who you are. I'm willing to change my perception, my awareness, and engage with you and your new in a new way. Our bringing our mind to that has an effect, and it creates a response from Earth. It's sort of like the same way, Robert, is with if I'm passing you on the sidewalk and I say, hey, Robert, and we engage and we talk and we exchange, there's an openness and a exchange of joy and vibration, and you respond when I reach out and engage with you. And that's parallel to what the Earth has when we consciously bring our mind to her. And right now, most of our relationships with Earth is like two strangers passing in the night. We don't connect with her. We just see her as this inert thing out there. We don't consciously turn our attention to her. And when we turn our attention to her, it opens a door. It opens a response. Same way as when you turn your attention to anyone else in your life. It creates a response. And so there's simple exercises to help us do that and help us learn to feel, sense the pulse, the vibration, the words, the emotion, whatever may come back from Earth to us. So it will be an exchange. Once we start doing this, there's a flow opens and created between yourself and Earth. And I guarantee you, once you start doing this, you'll start feeling a different resonance with Earth. And then you'll be guided and led into, either through the book or through your own relationship, into working with Earth in this new way. And it'll open a whole lot of doors for, you know, each one of us in society. And that's the thing, Robert, I want to jump into for a second, sharing another perspective with people on this, if I may. We see right now, we're all concerned about, or many of us are concerned about climate change, and feel that something must be done. I mean, somebody's got to do something, big government or big corporations of science, somebody's got to do something, and we feel, yeah, there's nothing I can do. I'm just an individual, so I'm going to go out and gear up my fight energy and go protest and rally and demand change and demand somebody do something. And we all feel that's all we can do. We all feel, I'm just a little individual. I don't have any power to do anything. Hey, I can recycle and I can conserve energy, but that's all I can do. But somebody's got to do something. But the amazing thing is, and what this book shows us, is that no, we each individually have the power and the innate ability to do something together with Earth to create healing and change. And this is what, as you mentioned before, this is what this whole climate change is bringing forth to us, this opportunity to begin to recognize we can, as individuals, can work with Earth differently. And we can work on the energetic level, and we can create change and bring about healing for this planet and for this climate change crisis. Once we each start doing this, engaging with Earth in this new way, doing some of these exercises or doing things that we individually feel guided to do in this new way of connecting with her as a conscious, sentient being and working together with her co-creatively, when we each individually do this, it will have this amazing effect on the well-being of our planet. And I am without a doubt, we each individually have the innate ability to create change on this planet and to create healing in the midst of this crisis. And I think that's why we brought this book. So we all feel somebody's got to do something, but we all project it at somebody beyond myself. And this book shows us, no, wait a second. I can do it. You can do it. We all have this innate ability to work with Earth in a really exciting and amazing new way. So that's kind of the whole new angle for approaching this problem we see.
Yeah, actually. Now, one of the things I want to mention that also kind of impacted me or kind of changed my view of things was that now one of my favorite things is to take pictures of nature. I draw all kinds of nature pictures, and so one of the exercises that you have called attune to the consciousness of a rock. When I read that one just struck me, because so often I am out taking pictures of nature, you know, and I'm kind of trying to be conscious and aware. And I mean, like, whenever there's a bird that I want to get a picture of, it's like, okay, bird, I want to take a picture. Stay still. If you don't want your picture taken, go ahead and fly away now, you know. Sometimes they fly, sometimes they don't. You know, the idea of attuned to the consciousness of a rock, and then you mentioned also in the thing, a stream, the flow of a stream. And there's one of my favorite gardens that has a stream, you know. But I always, in that one in particular, I had the perspective of taking a picture of this beautiful expression of nature, not feeling the flow of that in the scheme of things. So, anyway, I just want to let you know that's kind of how that particular exercise, how I'll be implementing that exercise in the future.
You mean when you encounter a rock or something you want to take a picture of, you now perceive it differently.
Yeah.
And
exactly. I'm probably will, you know, go ahead and do like the exercise, you know, holding the rock and, you know, you're trying to feel the way. So, I mean, I would go through and do the exercise.
I love that, Robert. It's really neat, and it just opens up when you approach nature in that way, approach a rock in this new way, it opens up a whole new doorway for you to just being and perceiving that rock differently. And then probably when you take your photos, you see things differently too, and different things come across to you too in your photography.
Oh,
yeah.
You would be surprised. Right. I have a whole section of photos I call, you know, photo surprises. Like I took a picture of a last spring of a water lily, beautiful purple water lily.
Mm-hmm.
When I got it down, and there was a bee flying above it, so I really wanted to get that bee. So I got the bee and the water lily. But after I downloaded it, I noticed underneath the leaf of the water lily was a grasshopper.
Oh, I love it. I love it.
It can really provide some fun surprises if you just look.
Yeah, exactly. And if you look with a new and expanded awareness. Yeah. And things you might, like if you're out for a walk in the woods and you may have, you pass an unusual rock formation. Oh, curious, you walk by it. Fine. But now when you're aware, rocks are part of Earth's consciousness and carry a certain energy and power and vitality with them. Now you pass that same rock formation, you stop and you look at it differently. And you realize, too, sometimes you'll see really unusual rock formations, which are very strange, like balanced rocks that should look like they should tip over, or some rocks that look curious or different or unusual. And now I look at them when I pass them, if I'm out on a walk, I stop and say, oh, that's a billboard. When I see a strange rock or unusual rock, that's a billboard. It's got something to say. It's holding itself out there in this unusual way, so I'll stop and tune in and connect and see what is it this rock is carrying, what is the energy it's carrying, what is the vibe, what is the message, what do I need to know from this rock that's catching my attention. And I think ancient cultures were much more aware of that and worked with rock. That's why we see things like Stonehenge. They worked, or the pyramids, they worked in conscious ways with rock because they knew it. Rock carried an energetic current, an energetic force that could be attuned to and created with. So now where are societies being asked, okay, come back into that connection, that alignment, and see things differently.
Yeah, absolutely. So now, as far as the book, who would you say is a good target reader for the book? Everyone of all ages, I would think.
Mm-hmm.
But is there, if someone is out there, but maybe wondering about nature, or who would really just get into reading the book?
Well, you know, Robert, I think anyone can get into reading the book. As I said at the outset, heck, I was a logical corporate ladder climbing corporate lawyer, you know, and this stuff, and once I started learning this stuff, it all resonated with me. So you don't have to be a nature guru by any means. It's really meant for all of us. Anyone who cares about the well-being of their planet, and really what else is more important, and the well-being of themselves, because as we heal the planet and we work with the planet in this way, it benefits ourselves too, because we're not separate. The vibration we bring to the planet also feeds and nourishes ourselves. So as we do this healing work together with the planet, for the planet, it's also benefiting ourselves. So I would say, you don't have to be an illustrious spiritual type or a nature guru, or even, you don't even have to be in nature. You can live in an apartment in New York and still attune to Earth from there, because Earth's energetic field, Earth's presence, Earth being is so expansive. You don't have to go out into nature to attune and connect with her. You can connect with Earth from the, 45th floor of your office building in the middle of Chicago or wherever you may be. So Earth's presence is everywhere. So I don't think you don't need to be someone special. You don't need to be in a special place. You just need to have an open mind to learn something new. And, isn't that something we all enjoy, having a new experience and exploring a new a new topic, a new direction, a new way of being, a new way of seeing things.
Oh, yeah. Well, I love the new perspectives I've gotten on several aspects of the book, and I plan on, you know, going through it again. But, I mean, you know, just I love it when my ideas of what is, you know, are expanded, you know. I never thought about it that way, but that makes sense, you know, or resonate. You use the word resonate. You know, that resonates with me. And again, like you say, you don't have to be in nature to be of nature, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think it's always fun learning new things. And the book also gives us, as the subtitle says, dynamic new perspective on Earth. So it beyond giving the exercises and showing us how to work with Earth, it gives us amazing new information about Earth and who she really is, and new perspectives of understanding kind of the fullness of our planet. So it's just mind expanding in that way too. And you know, the wonderful thing is, which I was really moved by when I took this dictation, and still when I work with this book, is the angelic realm, which came in to help try and bridge this relationship between humanity and Earth, and to see the real love that the many dimensions of our world have for this planet. It's not just us that love and care about this planet. She is admired and cared for and concerned for by many dimensions beyond ourselves. And they're all, others are coming in to try and join with us and help us and bring forth this new relationship. So it's really eye-opening to, in this book, it shows you a much more expansive vision of our whole multidimensional world. And there's so much more going on here than we realize.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm. Well, Mary, thank you for your time today. I've really enjoyed speaking to you. I really like your book. It's opened my mind to some new perspectives. And again, like I said, I always love that, you know, because I think that's, to me, that's an example of expanding consciousness, you know, ever-changing perspective.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, Robert, it's just been an absolute pleasure to share this with you and your listeners. And I enjoyed your questions and your comments and your perspectives, too. It really makes it more enriching for me, too, when I'm able to hear other people's experiences. Mm-hmm. And so thank you for inviting me here, and thank you for sharing in this with me.
You're very welcome. Mm-hmm. Again, everyone, today my very special guest has been Mary McNierney, and we have been talking about her new book, Earth Speaks Up, Dynamic New Perspective on Earth and Your Role Here. And again, you can find out more by visiting her website, which is www.marymcnierney.com. That's MaryMcNierney.com. And again, everyone, I want to thank you for joining us for this edition of the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. And until we meet again.
Thank you for tuning in. You've been listening to the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. Remember, our show is available as a free podcast from Blog Talk Radio, iTunes, TuneIn, and iHeartRadio. To follow our show, visit our homepage at byteradio.me and select the platform you use most. You can also find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at byteradio.me. Until we meet again, remember to be a bright light by bringing inspiration to your world and to the lives of those you touch.